You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast here on this Wednesday, May the 8th. I am your host, Mike Oliva, flying solo today. And today I'm going to do a little bit of a Miami Dolphins 2024 schedule show, sort of preview the schedule that will come out a week, next Wednesday, 1 week from today on the 15th. So Wednesday night, May 15th at 8 p.m., that's when the NFL will officially release all of the schedules for 2024. So I wanted to take a few minutes on today's show and sort of talk about everything with the Dolphins' upcoming schedule. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know which games are going to be played week one, week two, week three. I know there was some idiot on social media who said, per sources, there's a 50% chance that the Miami Dolphins might open home. Well, duh, it's home or road. So there's going to be a lot of misinformation over the next 7 days. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to make any wild predictions. Just sort of speculate, brainstorm out loud, and sort of share my thoughts on, A, the opponents we're playing, what games might be attractive, primetime games and stuff like that. This isn't news. This is just me speculating and sort of thinking out loud what we might see next week when they release the schedule. Also look at some trends in previous years, what they've done when Miami plays this team, when Miami plays that team. So we'll take a look at that all on today's show. But before we get to any of that, as always, a big shout out to everyone listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, please be sure you are on the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page, run by the great and talented Carlos Hernandez, by the way. Also, wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, Podchaser, Audible, we're on all the platforms. Please be sure, and YouTube, of course, please be sure you are subscribed to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. We have shows, you know, in the offseason, it might not be every day, but we have shows close to every day. If there's ever a topic you want me to talk about on this podcast here in the offseason, go to our Apple Podcast page. Leave us a 5-star rating. And then where it says the comment part, put in your question. I will see that. And then on one of the upcoming shows, I'll discuss that question. I'll give you a shout out. So that's one way to reach out to me on an upcoming show. If you want me to talk about a topic, go to our Apple Podcast page. It has to be a 5-star rating. Don't give me a 1-star rating and think I'm going to, you know, then answer your question. Give me a 5-star rating. And then in the comment section, write your question, write your topic that you want me to talk about, and I will read it on the air. Also, for those of you who joined me live tonight on YouTube and are here in the YouTube chat stream that I'm live on, if you leave a super chat, give me a little bit of money, put a super chat in there. I'll read your question on this show, and I will address it live here tonight on YouTube. All right, so the schedule is coming out next week, like I said. Now, the list of opponents, we already know. We've known that since the end of last year. And for those of you who might have forgotten or maybe weren't paying attention when that came out, let's go over the list of opponents Miami's going to play in 2024 here real quick. At home, obviously, Bills, Jets, New England, we know that. Also at home, they got the Las Vegas Raiders because they finished in second place in the AFC West. So whoever finished in second place in the AFC West last year travels to Hard Rock Stadium this year. And then they play Jacksonville, Tennessee, San Francisco, and Arizona also at home. This is one of the years where Miami has one fewer home game than road game. So Bills, Jets, Patriots, Raiders, Jaguars, Titans, San Francisco, Arizona, all at Hard Rock Stadium this year. On the road, they have Bills, Jets, Patriots, as we know. The crossover game with the AFC North is Cleveland. So they'll travel to Cleveland this year. They also play in Indy and in Houston. Then they play Seattle on the road, the Rams on the road, and the one extra, you know, wild card game is at Green Bay at Lambeau Field. So road, Bills, Jets, Patriots, Cleveland, Indy, Houston, Seattle, Rams, Green Bay. Just surface level today on May 8th. The home schedule is way easier than the road schedule. That's a killer road schedule. Cleveland's really good. Houston's really good. Indianapolis is up and coming. Seattle's always a pain in the neck up there. We know the Rams are really good, and the Packers are very good as well. The road schedule is brutal. The home schedule is a little bit softer. When you got Tennessee, although they did beat us last year, I know. Arizona doesn't look like world beaters. The Raiders don't have a quarterback, so that one is what it is. Jacksonville's tough to trust week to week. So the home schedule looks a little softer. The road schedule looks a little tougher. Now, last year, Miami had four what you would call primetime games. Week two, Sunday night versus the Patriots. Then there was that Sunday morning game versus Kansas City. Even though it's in the morning, it's a standalone primetime game, so I call it a primetime. Well, it's a standalone game that goes to the whole country, so I call it a primetime game. There's that one. They played Black Friday versus the Jets on Amazon. And then they had the Monday night, obviously, versus the Tennessee Titans, which pretty much ended the Dolphins' season. So those are the four, you know, primetime games. The Week 18 game versus the Bills, that was flexed. That wasn't a predetermined schedule, so I'm not going to count that. That was flexed the week of. But ultimately, when the schedule came out, there was four primetime games for the Dolphins. And when you look at this Dolphins schedule this year, you know, the team, for the most part, pretty similar to what it was last year. It's still a very good team with a lot of big names. You know, Tyreek Hill's a big name. Waddle's a big name. Odell Beckham's now a big name. Tua's a big name. Mike McDaniel's like a media darling out there. Everyone loves to hear what he's going to say next and what's the funny quote or whip he's going to say. So I think Miami's probably still get four, what you would call primetime games this year. I don't see it being any more because I think more is, that's where you start to get overkill. Like last year what the NFL did with the Jets and Rodgers. I mean, they didn't know he was going to get hurt. They just like wanted to shove the Jets down the nation's throats. And also that's what you get so with like the Cowboys because it's a team with a huge fan base, with a huge national following. They'll give you as much as possible. Oh, yes, and someone mentioned the Eagles game as well. That was five. I forgot about the Sunday night game versus the Eagles. We actually five primetime games last year, not four. This year I do think four is the number, though. I don't see it being five again. Thank you for Terry in our chat who mentioned the Eagles game. Totally forgot about that one. So I do see four. And plus, again, for all the reasons I said, exciting offense, big name players, and they're coming off a playoff season. And plus the team was on Hard Knocks last year. So now, you know, non-fans of the Dolphins who watch that show got a feel of what the team is, what the organization is, some of the players who might not be well-known. So I think that's also in play too. So you'll probably see four. Now, as Dolphins fans, next Wednesday night at 8 p.m., what do we want to see when the schedule comes out? What do we want to see? The most important thing for me is knowing that Bradley Chubb is probably going to miss at least half the season, if not more. And Jalen Phillips, I know he says he wants to come back week one. It just seems a bit unrealistic. He's going to miss a portion of the season. That first month or so of the year, not so much for Chubb because you can't not play anybody in the first half of the year, but more until we get Jalen back. In September, I want to see few, if any, games inside the AFC East. I want those AFC East games pushed back till October, November, and mainly in December because you want to be as close to full strength with your best pass rusher on the field for those games. So in September, if we got, you know, week two, three, and four, Jets, Patriots, and Bills, that's going to stink because we might not have Jalen Phillips for any of those games. I understand Chubb. He's out for too long to sort of factor that in. But for Jalen, who should be back sooner, I really hope that first month of the year we see, you know, few AFC East games. Now, look, they're going to have to play tough games because, like I said, that road schedule is brutal. There's not really an easy road game on there. So they're going to be on the road and have to play tough games without them. Nothing you can do about it, but maybe the division ones, to get, you know, for the most part. Well, like if it's the Patriots, not the end of the world. Why? I think the Patriots are kind of bad. So I don't mind that. But the Bills and Jets games, if we don't play them for the first time till like mid-October, wouldn't have a problem with that. Play them in mid-October, then, you know, like week 16, 17, 18. That's cool. That would totally work for me. So I think that's one of the main things I'm going to be watching for here next Wednesday when they come out with that schedule, knowing, you know, Chubb and Jalen Phillips are going to miss a significant part of the season, how many of the big division games, which we know matter more, you know, any way you slice it, those games matter more. How many of them are sort of, at least after September, when worst case scenario, Jalen Phillips is back by first week of October, I'd hope. Now, when it comes to the bye week, most years, I'd say you want a bye week middle of the season to late in the season. I think that's best. But again, the Chubb and Phillips injuries, it would not be bad this year to have a bye week early in the season. If it's week five, week six, even week four is usually when they start. That's not bad because that's a game where, or that's a week where there's no game, and that's a week, you know, an extra week for Chubb and Jalen Phillips. I want more games, you know, after the bye than before it this year. So typically a midseason bye like week 8 or 9 or a late season bye like week 12 or 13, that's like ideal because it, as you're going down the home stretch, you want to give everyone a week off to take a breather, rest their bodies. But this year having one earlier because of the injuries here might not be bad. So if it's a bye week 4 or 5, I am A-okay with that. The other thing, as a fan of the Miami Dolphins, we always know. Obviously, we know the Miami Dolphins stink in the wind, cold, snow late in the season. So let's hope we don't see many of them. What I think actually, though, is working against them, and it's a trend I've seen it with the NFL and the Miami Dolphins scheduling over the past few years, and it's not set in stone. It's just a trend you see. One year, like last year, Miami went to Buffalo early in the year, went to New England, like they went to New England week two, to the Bills week four, and then the Jets was late November. They didn't face on the road inside the AFC East late in the year. Now, the year prior, Miami was at the Bills on that Saturday night, week 16, I think, and then they're at the Patriots week 17, late in the year. So it's like every other year, and if you go back a bit, it's kind of like that. Every other year, Miami doesn't – they might have one game inside the AFC East late in the year in the cold and snow, and then the following year – they don't get any type of deal. Last year we had none. So this year I'm thinking we might get a couple. So I would not be shocked if, you know, week, you know, starting with the first week in December till that, you know, first week of January, that final stretch, if we have road games versus the Jets and Bills there, would not shock me. Again, wouldn't be awful either because that's kind of what we want with the injuries to Chubb and Phillips. Hopefully they're both back by then. But they're going to have to find ways to beat good teams. If it's the Patriots, it's different. But if it's the Jets and Bills, they're going to have to find a way to be good teams inside the AFCs down the road in the cold, snow, wind, rain, all that stuff. So, again, schedule placement, sort of. How many games do they have in that, I'd say, post-Thanksgiving and, you know, bad weather? Looking at the rest of the schedule, you know, at Cleveland, you don't want that late in the year. You hope to get that out of the way. Indy's in the dome. Houston's in the dome. Seattle doesn't get too bad. Rams are okay. Green Bay. So really, on the road, you got Bills, Jets, Patriots, Cleveland, Green Bay. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 games with the potential being cold weather. Hopefully, a few of those games are early in the year, but you don't want too many of them late in the year. And also, last year, Miami ended the season with, what, like 5 of their last 7 at home or something like that, 5 or last 6. I don't know if that'll happen again. If it does, great. But if it doesn't, is what it is. Couple other things historically. These are more historical trends, not necessarily 100% accurate. It's just things that I've noticed over the years. When Miami plays at Cleveland, specifically, now I know the last time they played there was 2019. It was Thanksgiving week, so it's not always, like I said, not a set in stone thing. But back in like the 80s and 90s, when they played in Cleveland, it was always September, October. The NFL schedule makers always like to send Miami to Cleveland September, October. They had a couple week one, week two games on Monday Night Football in Cleveland. The game where Marino got hurt in 93 was October. So Miami in Cleveland, and I know there was a few years back, I want to say 2013 when they changed the uniforms, they played in Cleveland in October. Historically, more times than not when Miami plays in Cleveland, it's in September, October. Doesn't mean it's always, though, like I said, doesn't mean it's always. But it, historically, it's been earlier in the season than late. Another thing to remember when it comes to primetime games, in the NFL back in the day when Roselle was the commissioner, Rune Arledge from ABC was running it, Monday Night Football was on ABC, which it still kind of is because it's owned by ESPN, which is part of the ABC family. They always had a Miami Dolphins Monday night game in December. Always. If you look at their schedules in, you know, the late 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, when the Dolphins were good. Now, when the team's bad, sometimes you just can't do that. But in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, if you look at that schedule, more years than not, if not almost every year, Dolphins had a home Monday night game in December because ABC, who broadcasted the game, liked to give their staff or the people covering a game, the cameramen, a treat. Because you're covering a game in December in Miami, you can wear shorts and a T-shirt while you're standing on the thing holding the camera. The sideline reporters don't have to wear like a winter coat. Now everyone's not freezing. It was like a treat to the crew because, hey, we're sending – we have at least 1 week late in the year where it's not Chicago, not New York, not Philadelphia, where it's going to be freezing cold and it's going to be awful weather. We're going to treat – so they would request the NFL – give Miami a Monday night game in December. And this is 100% true story. It's not, I ain't just making this up. This is a true story. It's been written about. So, and if you look at last year, when did Miami have their Monday night football game? In December against the Titans, because it's still something that's carried out. Now, for all those years, Miami was bad recently, like mostly out of the past 24 years, for like 20 of them, Miami's been bad. You just can't put them on Monday Night Football. It's easier when you got Marino or Ricky Williams and Zach Thomas and stuff, and the team's like good. When the team's bad, there's only so much you can do, and you can't. But historically, when Miami's a good team, the NFL and ABC likes to have a December Monday night game in Miami. So keep an eye on that. Now, hopefully it goes better than the one it did last year versus Tennessee. I don't know. Week one opponent, I'm not going to sit here and try and guess. It could literally be any one of these teams. I mean, once again, I don't have a crystal ball. But sometimes we know the NFL schedule makers like to get creative and like to come up with a storyline. If they don't want to do Jets-Miami or Jets-Bills, or I mean Miami versus the Bills or Miami versus the Patriots like an AFC East matchup, there is an opponent that has an underline, that has a storyline that I think would be great for week one. And sometimes the NFL schedule makers look for stuff like this for week one, especially for a game that's like a non – it's a game that won't be exciting whether it's week one, week two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. And that is Raiders at Miami. Why? Christian Wilkins. Christian Wilkins' first game with the Raiders, if it was against the Dolphins in Hard Rock Stadium, that would have a little buzz to a game that if you did that game in week six, no one's going to care. You did that game in week 12, no one's going to care. Do it in week one. Are many people going to care? No, but there's a little bit of a storyline. Christian Wilkins leaves Miami, signs with the Raiders for a mega, mega deal with $27 million a year. Do that game week one. It got a little bit of buzz around it. Got a little something that people might be interested, who might not be interested in that game, middle or late in the season. There's that. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's always interesting. It's always in play. Now, they don't play the Lions or the Cowboys, so obviously it's not going to happen there. But their third Sunday night Thanksgiving night game is always a wild card. And the NFL in recent years has used this, not every year, again, it's not absolute, so it's not every year, has used this to either have a brutal matchup inside of the same type of division, Steelers, Ravens, San Francisco, Seattle, Giants, Cowboys. They've used those types of, not Giants, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles. They've used those divisional games in that Thanksgiving night time slot on NBC, or they look for a game with a storyline. And first off, before I talk about what this might be, again, more history for some of our younger listeners out there. Thanksgiving night is always interesting. The NFL way back 70s and the early 80s, you know, they had the Lions and they had the Cowboys, you know, noon and like four. That was always a thing. Roselle, as a commissioner, was always forward thinking. He said we should have a third Thanksgiving Day game, have a prime time. And since the first two were in the NFC, he wanted the third one in prime time to be in the AFC, and his team of choice was Miami. He wanted Miami every year, like the Lions and Cowboys, to host a prime time game on Thanksgiving night. The Miami Dolphins owner at the time, Joe Robbie, was lukewarm on the idea, let's just say. Not crazy about it, not in love with it. He was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to host a Thanksgiving Day game every year at the Orange Bowl. He really wasn't in love with the idea. Roselle never really rammed it down his throat, but when the talk of it was out there, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, Lamar Hunt, like stood up, raised his arms like, I want the game every year. Give me the game. I want it every year. And of course, when Hunt said that, Roselle, for whatever reason, didn't want to hand it to Kansas City. He really wanted Miami to do it, but he wanted Miami to be like excited about it, which they weren't. So it never really happened, of course, until many, many years later when NBC, you know, spoke to the NFL long after Roselle died about having a third Thanksgiving Day game. We'll just rotate it and just have a nice matchup. So there was a time in history where the Miami Dolphins would have had a Thanksgiving Day game at night in prime time every year. And it would have been in a rotation. Lions at noon, Cowboys at 4 or so, and at night Miami. It never came and never happened, mainly because Robbie just wasn't really excited about it and never really embraced the idea. But that is, there's a little history lesson for you folks that almost happened back in the day. Now, with the Thanksgiving night game, they could always, if Miami is in the fold there, again, I'm not going to try and predict, but of course, you go Miami versus the Bills, rivalry matchup, probably do that game on the road at Orchard Park, probably has a little bit more buzz. Jets Miami, you can do that one in either location. That would work there. But the one I think has the most buzz for a Thanksgiving primetime game now, if they were to do it with the Dolphins, is against San Francisco. Because they always, the NFL always loves the storyline, like Harbaugh versus Harbaugh, which they did back in the day, San Francisco versus the Ravens, Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh. You go Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel, the mentor and the mentee, the protege and the guy who sort of taught him a lot of what he knows. That would be a great subplot for Thanksgiving night at Hard Rock Stadium, San Francisco at the Miami Dolphins Thanksgiving night. I think that'd be a great one. But again, trying to predict this stuff, who knows? The NFL might not want to do that. They might want to do a game that, because here's the deal. Once again, this stuff isn't absolute. The NFL a couple years ago in that game did Patriots at Vikings. Like, huh? Who cares? But they know any game they put in that time slot is going to do a huge, huge number because everyone's home on Thanksgiving. Everyone's already eating like a slob and they're sitting on the couch falling asleep. And they're probably falling asleep with their television on to that game. So you don't even need a good game. But if they want a good game, historically, they stayed inside of the same division. They had Giants Washington recently, San Francisco Seattle recently, Bears Packers recently, Pittsburgh Ravens recently. So if it was Fins versus Bills or Fins versus Jets and whatever stadium, wouldn't shock me. But if it was not inside the same division, Dolphins Niners would be a great Thanksgiving night third game. We'll see. Again, just sort of throwing ideas out there here. This is not a prediction or not news in any way. The other primetime games, I think Miami will obviously have one Monday night game, one Thursday night game. Looking at the schedule, there are some games that scream Thursday night football. When you look at Thursday night football, because we know that lineup, it's improved a little in recent years, but it's still not great. Jacksonville at Miami, I think the last time they played was on Thursday night football. I got a feeling that's going to be a Thursday night football game. Or Miami at Indy, that's a total Thursday. Those two games got Thursday night football written all over it. They just do. I'd bet a large sum of money today that next week at 8 p.m. when they put out that schedule, Jacksonville at Miami or Miami at the Colts is on a Thursday night at some point this year. When you look at Monday night, there's two games that scream Monday night football. Miami at Houston, I mean, two prolific offenses, you know, two young quarterbacks that are just sensational. That game screams Monday night football. The other one is Miami at Green Bay. Green Bay, it's a crossover game, AFC versus NFC. That game screams Monday night football. That's got enough cachet to get you excited on a Monday night with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and all that stuff, and probably have the Manning brothers do either one of those games. I know they don't do a Manning cast for every Monday night game. I think if it was Miami at Houston or Miami at Green Bay, I know those are two road ones, but those two kind of scream Miami. Those two kind of scream Monday night football. And that San Francisco game, if that's not on Thanksgiving night, I could see that being a big 420 game one week, being like the headline game of the week, or that could also be a Monday night game there as well. So just some thoughts here on what might happen next week with the schedule. Schedule, like I said, home schedule is not too bad, pretty soft. Road schedule is brutal. I mean, this Miami Dolphins offensive line trying to block the Cleveland Browns front seven, that is no walk in the park. That is, I mean, Myles Garrett and all those guys that they have up front and what they do on that side of the ball, that's brutal. The Colts, the young quarterback I heard early last year, he'll be back. He looked good when he was healthy. That offense has some more weapons. At Indy's never easy. We know Houston is really good. Many people think they're the third best team in the AFC. I tend to agree. They are the third. I mean, they have a ton of talent and a quarterback who is outstanding. So at Indy, at Houston, at Cleveland's tough. At Seattle, at the Rams, do not be shocked with those two West Coast road trips if the Dolphins ask to have them back-to-back. They've done that a lot as well. I believe a few years ago they did that. Well, they've done that a few times in the past recently. So at Seattle, at the Rams, back-to-back week, 10 and weeks 11. So Miami can fly out there once and just stay out there, not fly cross-country back and forth twice in the course of a year. They can fly out, play one of the teams, then stay out on the West Coast for a week and play the second team. I would not be shocked if we see that again. And if that was a request Miami asked for there, week 17, probably be a road game because I think that lines up with the Orange Bowl that week. So week 17, not week 18, week 17 usually is a road game. And also the third week in October, they'll either have a bye or it'll be a road game because Taylor Swift is performing two nights at Hard Rock Stadium, like October 20, 21st, 22nd, that weekend, whatever it is exactly. So the third week of October will either be a road game or it'll be they're off. And week 17, I think that's the week that lines up with the Orange Bowl. So that'll probably be a week where they're on the road there. So, yeah, next Wednesday night, 8 p.m., we'll be live on the air on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel to get our, quick reaction responses in real time when the schedule's dropped. I know myself, Ian Berger, Tom Earnesty, I know Josh and Aaron are joined. We'll see who else we can get to join us live. But be on the lookout for that next Wednesday night, 8 p.m., Dolphins Talk YouTube channel for our live instant reaction when the schedule comes out. Again, it's just the schedule. Last year when they came out with the schedule, I said at the time it was the gift from the NFL gods because the schedule broke perfectly with the week off, with the bye week, middle, late year, with the end of the year with, five of the last seven at home. They didn't have any crazy weeks, short weeks. They didn't have any crazy wild weeks. If they play Christmas Day this year, which they're playing, that's on a Wednesday, I know fans will be up in arms because that's a really short week you play. I think they said if you're playing on a Wednesday, you're going to play the Thursday before. No, I forgot how they did it, but you're going to play the Thursday before. Or no, you won't play the Thursday after, so it's like you have extra time. They're going to find a way to make it as best for all parties involved. But they could play Christmas Day again. The past 2 years, they played Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I know the 1 year everyone played on Christmas Eve, but Christmas Day, that was kind of one of the couple games, I believe. We'll see what the schedule comes out. Just look for trends. Don't look for anything wild. And, not a lot of games late in the year in the cold and snow. And see when they put up the bye week to see if it's early in the year, which might help. I don't know. We'll see. One thing here before I wrap up to the show is I want to give some final thoughts on the signing of Odell Beckham because it's still, hot news and he officially signed this week. Now it's official, official. He went to the building, signed everything, and it's there. So, again, now we're like about a week later, so it's still a good – it's a great deal at a great price. I mean, Odell Beckham, I see some fans are still upset with this. I don't understand why. I swear to God, there's a segment of fans of Miami Dolphins who are not happy unless they're miserable at all times. This offense last year just lacked any depth at wide receiver. And now they got a real legit number three wide receiver. We know it's not the same Odell Beckham for 2015, 2016. We know. But he's also not being paid like that. He's being paid like a third wide receiver, $3 million. And if he hits his incentives, that's probably a good thing. That means he's playing really, really well. And if he plays really, really well, we win a lot of games. That's a good thing. So that's how you got to look at it. And I just, and people think, oh, he's a locker room cancer, this, that, and the other. He's all this drama. He's a distraction. Tyreek Hill is that distraction in our locker room. It's not Odell Beckham. So you can't be okay with Tyreek and be upset with Odell Beckham when Tyreek's a, come on, folks, you got to use some common sense here. And you look at this, this offseason, I've raised a lot of questions about this roster really hasn't improved. But I think with this signing, I think what they did in the draft, it's one thing we can say now on May 8th, this offense has improved in a lot of areas, not all. Wide receiver, adding Odell into the mix, added to the wide receiver depth. Also, the kids in the draft, we'll see. They're around 6 and 7. I don't know. But if they play well, they've improved the wide receiver depth. Just Odell alone improves the wide receiver depth. Tight end, they revamped the room. Jonnu Smith and the guy for the Chiefs just, revamped the room. And you still have Smythe and you still have Hill. Tight end depth and the high-end tight end with Jonnu Smith just makes the room way better. Running back, Jalen Wright as your third just, once again, improves the overall running back room overall. Jeff Wilson, Salvin Ahmed are just guys. Chris Brooks had one game in which the Broncos couldn't tackle anybody. I can't get excited about Chris Brooks. But adding Jalen Wright into the mix just improves the depth of the wide receiver, of the running back room. And the offensive line, look, we know what the offensive line is. I give up. They don't seem to care about it. They don't seem to be worried. Why should I at this point? I give up. And I'm sure they'll sign a guard after June 1st. Whoever they sign, it ain't going to be anybody that's going to move the needle much. So it's just another body. And I don't know if they'll sign one. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But when Chris Greer says, I don't care about it, he doesn't care about it. And, you know, fans can sit there and pout and whine and scream and yell and put their hands on the table. Oh, sign a guard. He doesn't see it the way we do. Mike McDaniel doesn't see it the way we do. When they look at their whole salary cap, they want to allocate money to wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, pass rushers, and corners. They don't want to allocate money to a left guard, a right guard, or an offensive tackle for the most part. I mean, they'll pay Austin Jackson because they drafted them, and they'll pay Armstead, which I'm sure they have a lot of regret about. But they don't want to spend big money on a center. They don't want to spend big money on a right guard. They don't want to spend big money on a left guard. They just don't. So maybe we'll sign someone post June 1st, but that offensive line is what it is. It's not going to change drastically on May 8th than what it will be the first day of training camp. But overall, the rest of the positions are improved. And kind of what I've been saying, my main and only concern with this team heading into 2024, and we'll see how it plays out, and I kind of hope I'm wrong, that defense. Anthony Weaver has been a coordinator once, and it did not go well. And he had J.J. Watt. So we'll see. And plus, the Ravens had a chance to promote him. They didn't. The Seattle hired his boss. He had a chance to take him there and make him a coordinator there. He didn't. You know, the people who knew him best passed him over. So we'll see if Anthony Weaver is all that and a bag of chips, or if it's just a lot of, you know, smoke blown and a lot of bluster and not any meat on that bone. And then the other main concern is the defensive line is just – it's abysmal. I mean, outside of Zach Sealy, you got nothing. And they let two very good players go, one of which made a ton of money, one of which didn't get paid too much. And they let them go, and they signed a bunch of backups. So we'll see. Again, post June 1st, maybe they add a body there. I don't know. They've already added like 6 or 7. I don't know how many more you can add, really. But we'll see. But the offense with this Odell Beckham one, that was like the final piece, I thought, to like you upgrade the wide receiver room, you upgraded the tight end room, you've now added right at running back. So that helps there. We got the quarterback. He is who he is. He should, you know, hopefully take another step and improve this year. Offensive line, it is what it is. So the offensive side of the ball, as long as Mike McDaniel improves as a play caller, doesn't, you know, stop running the ball when it's working, stop throwing fade passes in the end zone to 5'10 wide receivers who can't, you know, make that play. If he, you know, erases some of the stuff he does that makes you scratch your head and just, you know, improves as a play caller, the offense, I think, is going to be fine in 2024. The defense, on the other hand, a little wait and see on that. We'll wait and see. I'm not going to sit here and say that the Dolphins have a great defense because I don't think they do. And I think the Chubb injury and the injury to Jalen Phillips really hurt because, yeah, they're going to return this year, but are they going to return to form or are they just going to return? Yeah, because they might return and then need another, you know, 4 to 6 weeks of actual playing time to get back to where they were prior to the injury. Well, if you're going to miss, you know, they might not have. So that's a big thing. Well, and that's what we're going to see. But I think the offense is going to be fine in 2024. The defense is a worry. But that's why they play the games. And we'll see. And next week, like I said, Wednesday, the 15th, we have the schedule release NFL. Join us live right here in the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, take a second now and hit the subscribe button. You can also smash that like button. And if you put a comment up in the comment section, I will read it there and try to respond. Also, like I said, if you want – it's May, June, July. News is slow. Topics are sometimes tough to come up with on shows like this. Go to our Apple Podcast page. Leave us a 5-star rating. Ooh, 5-star. And in the comment area, ask me a question. Put up a comment on an upcoming show. I will read it. I'll give you a shout out. And that might be a topic of a show, which I talk about on an upcoming show. Or maybe I'll spend half a show on it. So if that's a way you have an idea for a topic on a show, Apple Podcast page, 5-star rating, and in the comment area, you don't have to write a positive comment. You can. That's great. But just put your question or what you want to hear us talk about, I'll see it, and we'll talk about that on an upcoming show. Also, I do want to mention that the Jalen Waddle Youth Football Camp is the place to be this summer. Join the Miami Dolphins start June 22nd in Fort Lauderdale for skill building, fun, and memories that will last a lifetime. Visit JalenWaddleCamp.com and register while spots are still available. Each camper will receive a limited edition t-shirt, a souvenir autograph, and a team photo with Jalen. Check out JalenWaddleCamp.com to learn more. That's JalenWaddleCamp.com. See you on the field. This is open to boys and girls, grades 1 through 8. All right, everybody, that's all for today's show. Be sure to follow us on social media at Dolphins Talk on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, all those areas. And check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. We added a few new writers. We got a bunch of new content up. Check it out. Check their work out. We got videos and podcasts out. Marissa Marino interviewed three Miami Dolphins undrafted free agents over the past week or so. She interviewed Storm Duck. She interviewed Mark Perry, and she interviewed, the other kid's name? Colbert. Jordan Colbert. So three interviews with current Miami Dolphins undrafted free agents who will be taking the field for the Dolphins this week with their rookie mini camp. Check out those interviews. Three good guys. We're all rooting for them all now as they are. We're nice enough to come on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. Everyone, have a great Wednesday night. Have a great Thursday. If you're listening to this on Thursday, we'll talk to you again after a while. And folks, don't forget, we still must put an end to highway profanity.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.